This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, it's a brand new week here at the Superhuman Studios. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking with John Lepore and a series of interviews that we will be doing moving forward called Muscle Saves Lives. And we're going to hear his personal story. Later in the show, Brooks Kubik will be joining us, and possibly Adel Moussa, because his blog post today in Subversity.com actually is spot on what Brooks and I will be talking about. Towing the thin line when exercise starts to work against your goals. So that's later in the show. You won't want to miss that. Let's go ahead and get started. But before we bring my first guest on, I just want to mention that Muscle Gauge Nutrition is giving away $600 worth of free product to my listeners. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad at the top. The drawing happens May 31st. Don't miss this opportunity to get $600 worth of free product from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. Okay. John Lepore, how are you doing?
Good. How you doing, Carl?
Good. John, I'm having you on the show because you sent me an email recently kind of implying that the show saved your life. Is that and I emailed you back and said, "Tell me your story." And you told me your story, and I'm so intrigued by it that I thought, you know, we need to do more stories about this. Showing how muscle can actually not only enhance the quality of life, but in times of critical situations, actually perhaps save lives or at least make them heal faster. When did your journey into physical culture begin, John?
Well, ever since I was about 15, I started playing sports in high school, football, did track and field in high school, threw like shot put and weights.
Wow.
And, always into it, some influential coaches, we used to do some Olympic-style lifting, all that type of stuff. And kind of took it from there, kind of just kept with it. Off-season, I trained hard.
How old are you now, John?
I'm 33.
Okay, so for the past 18 years, you have been a huge proponent of physical culture.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, you train every week, every day? You get to the gym frequently?
Yeah, right now I train about three, four times a week. You know, back in, like, when I was in my 20s, when I was more of, like, you know, a six-day-a-week guy, like,
right.
Always at the gym, you know,
right.
You know how it is.
But life gets in the way now when you're older and you have to pay bills, right?
Exactly. I'm married and I have two stepchildren now, so.
Yeah, that keeps you busy. That's
yep,
for sure.
Yep, can't always get to the gym, but I work out smarter now, I'd say. So.
Yeah, and that does come with age, doesn't it?
Definitely.
You don't have to destroy yourself, which is actually going to be the second half of this show today. It's going to be an interesting discussion. Okay, so you continue. Do you look like a bodybuilder? If someone looked at you, would they say you're a bodybuilder?
Yeah, a lot of times I get asked. I'm a big guy. I'm about 5'8", and I range from between 215 and 225.
Wow, that's really respectable at 5'8".
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, very good. All right, so now let's go back in time a little bit. We'll fast forward from the beginning, and let's go back in time.
Sure.
Where were you when you were crossing the street?
I was on a busy street in Providence. It's called Atwell's Ave. It's all, like, restaurants and bars. And it was a Halloween night, actually, and I was late. You know, it was about, I'd say about 1 o'clock in the morning. I lived on that street, so I was heading back to my apartment with my roommate. And, I think we stopped. You know, we went out for a little bit. Stopped and got, like, a slice of pizza. And I was walking across the street, and I was, to say, like, about a foot away from the sidewalk.
And so, in other words, you had just stepped off of the sidewalk.
No, I was going onto the sidewalk.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I was, like, almost across the street.
Wow, you really considered across the street. If there were any cars around you, you would have been between parked cars and protected.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so this car comes down the street. The driver drunk?
There was a thing. It was a hit and run. They don't know. I mean, I can only assume.
So they never found this person?
They know. They never found him. The Providence police never found him.
Okay, so you're literally about to throw your first foot up on the sidewalk, and this person, you don't know if it's a guy or a girl.
Nope.
Right? Clearly had to be drunk or aiming for you, one of the two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it hits you at about how fast do you assess the car was going?
I want to say at least 30 or 40.
My God, that's really, really fast. I thought you, 15 miles an hour breaks bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you get thrown up in the air, I take it, right?
I remember like a flash.
Did you realize you were getting hit by a car? Did you look to the right or to the left, whichever way, and go, oh my God, it's a car?
No. It was like, a blind. So like, all I saw was a flash. Next thing you know, I'm like, I got spun around. I'm in the street now. I'm like almost in the middle of the street.
Right. So clearly you got thrown. You don't remember it perhaps because you were in such shock. But because if you were a foot away from the curb and now you're out in the middle of the street, you got thrown by the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay. And so you're laying on the ground. The car just speeds away. Your buddy is with you still?
He had kind of like, because he had already crossed, so he was kind of like already like turned up the street. And there was like a couple other people on the street, but you know, the car hit me so fast. And it just kept going,
man.
So nobody got the license plate,
or even a make or model, nothing, color of car, nothing.
No, nope.
Man.
Nope.
Okay, so you're laying in the street. Do you stand up and start walking home? What happens?
Well, I wish. I remember being like on all four points of my knees, and I just remember like wiggling my toes and saying, you know, like, thank, I can do that, thank God.
Right. Your spine was still protected, at least.
Exactly. I just remember that from somehow, I don't know, just that, I remember to do that, just to, you know, see if you can wiggle your toes and your fingers.
Right. And so you're on all fours, and does someone come and help you up at this point in time?
Yeah, well, everybody comes and surrounds me, the people that were on the street, my friend, and then they're like, you know, everybody's like, just stay down. I can't see my leg. You know, but I know, obviously, I'm in something that's not right.
Are you dazed? Are you in shock? Are you dazed? Do you feel the pain, or you don't really feel the pain because you're dazed?
Kind of more dazed and shocked. I know something's wrong, but I don't exactly feel the pain.
Are you looking at their faces? They're looking back at you in horror?
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh my God. You know, everybody's like, oh my God. You know, everybody's like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I almost tried to get it. And then I was like, I just stayed down. And,
yeah, I'm just going to lay here. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, the body knows. It's like the brain goes, maybe I should get up, and the body goes, no, I don't think so.
No, I don't. And I had like a laceration over my my eye too.
So blood is running down your face, right?
Exactly. So I'm all confused.
Now, at this point in time, do you realize what happened? Do you think it's a car? Do you think it's the hand of God smacked you into the street? I mean, what are you thinking? Do you realize it's a car?
I kind of think it's a car, but then again, I'm like, you know, I don't. It happened. So, to be honest with you, I don't know like how long I was. Oh, if I was. You know, before I actually like kind of like woke up in the street,
right?
Like, so it might have been like, you know, a couple of minutes, or, you know.
Right.
I know the ambulance got there fast because my friend called the ambulance and other people were calling too. And Providence is kind of a small city, so you know, hospital's not that far.
Right.
So I remember the ambulance being there fairly quick.
Right. Okay, so the ambulance takes you. They put you on a gurney. Mm-hmm. They bring you into the ambulance. They start driving you to the hospital. Meanwhile, you hear the chatter of the EMTs. What are they saying? Are they like, oh my God, this guy's legs are crushed, or what are they saying?
Yeah, they're just like, stay still. You know, they're just telling me to stay still. They don't, you know, they obviously gave me something for the pain, because at that point I was like a little delirious. I'm like, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm just like, you know, I'm like, I just remember saying, am I paralyzed? And they obviously don't. No, they didn't give me an answer. They don't. You know.
Now, did any of them comment at that point in time? Like, did you see anybody? Any of the EMTs imply anything about the level of musculature on your body, like good or bad, or just, wow, this guy looks like he works out or something like that?
I couldn't remember anything at that point, no.
Okay, so they get you to the hospital, you get into the ER, and you when you see the ER doctor the first time, does he give you a prognosis? Does he say anything, give you any feedback at all?
No, I just remember them bringing me out. I remember... My parents obviously came to the hospital, and I remember like I was still like had blood all over me because they hadn't like cleaned me up fully yet and everything. And Yeah, I don't. I'd be honest. The whole that part is kind of a blur. I think because I probably.
I think it was starting to set. It was starting to set in. Plus, the painkillers they were giving you probably was sedating you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Was your mother crying when she got there?
Yeah. No. She was hysterical. Both my parents were just they couldn't believe it happened.
Yeah, this sucks, man. This sucks. Any parent to find the child. Mm-hmm. You know. I don't. And don't forget. You know. I mean. You're always their child. Even at 30 years old, you're still
exactly,
their child.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's a terrible situation. Okay, this story gets a lot better. And we want to talk about this because this is really important stuff. For those people out there who think muscle is just decoration, we're going to talk more with John Lepore when we come back. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is the Muscle Saves Lives series. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focus just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ecdysterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to IronMagLabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with John Lepore. When we went into the commercial break, he was struck by a car crossing the street near his home and rushed to the hospital in the ER. Everybody who's looking at him is shocked. He's not clear on what's happened to him yet. He's not even sure he got hit by a car in reality, which is probably true of most people who get struck by cars. It happens so fast. Let's face it. They wouldn't be in the path of a car if they knew a car was there. So it's unknown to them what's hitting them. But clearly this hit-and-run driver hit John and was about to change his life. So, John, when did you really start to realize what happened to you? Was it the following day when you woke up in the hospital?
Yeah, it was kind of like after, you know, they went in, they did the surgery on my leg. Next day, basically, you know, I talked to my friend, and he kind of told me what happened, you know, basically what he saw, you know.
What surgery did they do on your leg, first of all? Do you know what they did?
Sure, yeah. They had to, I broke my tibia fibula.
Wow.
And the bone came, you know, came through the skin, obviously, and
right.
snapped in half.
Right.
They had to put a titanium rod going down. They had to insert it through my knee.
Right.
Goes all the way down, and I have a plate with the screws in my, you know, shin area. And I got a pretty nasty, like a 7-inch scar going from the my shin. It wraps around my calf, the inside of my calf.
How does the knee work? Does the knee still work okay?
The knee, yeah, the knee, it gives me a little trouble once in a while. I can feel where, you know, where the thing starts, where the rod starts.
Right.
But yeah, otherwise it's pretty good. I'm now I'm squatting. I'm squatting heavy now.
How much are you squatting right now?
The other day I did 405. You
yeah,
know?
Great. So. That's fantastic. Okay, so what about your hip? Was your hip also injured?
Yeah, well, I cracked my pelvis.
That's a pretty nasty break. The pelvis is a really, really strong, architecturally as well as bone thickness wise.
Yep.
The pelvis is a really, really strong piece of bone. To crack your pelvis, you really, I mean, usually the hip bone will break before the pelvis will break.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So this had to be painful also.
Oh yeah, it was, it opened up in the front, the pelvis. So, and that they couldn't operate on till after, you know, they did the leg first. So they didn't even operate on the pelvis till, I think it was 2 days later. So I basically had like a almost like a girdle they had to put on me.
Yeah, right.
Like a tight girdle to keep me stable.
To keep the bones together.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't start
exactly.
separating on their own.
Exactly. Yep.
Because the pelvis has a little flexibility to it in the center there.
Yeah.
It has some cartilage type tissue in there that allows it to have some minor flexibility, but it's not mm-hmm. supposed to move independently. It's not a independent suspension type system,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, okay, so how long were you in the hospital altogether?
I was in, after the surgeries, the surgeries were like 1 week. I was in about a month, and then I had to go to a rehab facility for another like 2 weeks.
Okay. I mean, prior to this, you're an active person. You've got a job. Mm-hmm. Were you dating anybody at the point in time?
No, not at that time. No.
Okay. You had an active life. All of a sudden, boom! You're yep. you know the new prognosis is going to therapy, physical therapy.
Yep.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, it was just getting like, you know, I was stuck. I'm not used to being stuck in a, you know, just a bed. I'm stuck in a bed for, you know, a month and a half. You know, in the hospital, we didn't really do much. Getting out of bed, it was like, you know, a chore. So then I went to physical therapy, and that they did some good stuff because they did a lot of stretching with me, and you know, basically doing stuff that to get, you know, working in and getting in and out of.
Well,
the
let
car
me ask you a question.
Like
knowing what you know about physical culture, you're also a personal trainer, I should mention, by the way.
Yes, yep.
And we'll plug your business here in a minute. But sure. Knowing what you know about personal training and about kinesiology,
mm-hmm.
What did you think of your physical therapist?
I thought they were good. They did what they could. They, you know, they're not. They don't know about the more lifting and stuff like that, so it was kind of...
More mobility work, probably.
Yeah, more mobility work, yeah, true, yeah, more stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, so you're in the hospital for a month, and by the way, for those of you, to kind of give you a... For those of you who don't have any experience with hospital stays, you've got to be really effed up to stay in the hospital for a month in this day and age with the way... I mean, insurance companies... want to get you out of the hospital in 3 or 4 days after an amputation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, oh, well, let him go home and heal.
Yeah.
You know? So to stay in the hospital for a month, you really got to be pretty mangled. You got to be in bad shape.
Yep.
Did you have any internal bleeding? Were there any organs that were bruised or damaged?
No. They did a CAT scan. They did everything. No head trauma, nothing like that. No, nothing internally. So thank God that was No, that was okay. It was just,
okay.
You know.
So your physical, did anyone in the hospital ever say anything to you implying, like even the doctor, did the doctor have a moment where he said, you know, you're lucky you've got so much muscle on your carcass because you probably would be in a lot worse shape if you didn't? Anything like that come across out of anybody's mouth in this
yeah,
journey?
The surgeon, when I would meet with him, he's like, well, you know, this could have been, you know, if you weighed 150 pounds, you know, God knows what would have happened to you. You know, you probably would have got, you know.
I want to speak to this for a second. You know, there's no doubt about it that muscle can absorb shock. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that you have that thick, dense muscle surrounding some of these bones that were assaulted, that alone has a great value. But the other thing is that from working for so many years with, you know, real load-bearing work increases bone mineral density dramatically. Yep. And we know that there's a signal from the body. The stronger your muscles are, the body upgrades the chassis. So if you have like really strong muscles, this is why when some athletes turn to very powerful androgenic steroids and don't give their ligaments and bones a chance to catch up with their muscular strength, they snap things. When muscle has time to grow, it sends signals to the body that, hey, we produce a lot more torque now. You need to upgrade the chassis. You need to make the bones denser and stronger. So just the fact that you've carried this amount of muscle for so long tells me that you had much stronger bones than the average schmo out there who's getting hit by a car today.
Yep.
So your surgeon said something to you then?
Yeah, he did. He said, you know, good thing you were, you know, as big a guy as you are,
right?
Because you took the impact. I have really big thighs, especially like my thighs and my hips, and you know, very
glutes
very
probably big. From squatting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly, squatting, deadlifting, all that stuff. I've been doing that for years. So
right. Okay. So you get through physical therapy. Did you lose your job in this journey? Did your employer hold out? Were you in school at the time? I forget to ask.
I worked for a bank. They held my job. I was out for so a total of I want to say like, but they told me I could go back to work after like maybe like 7 months.
No kidding! Holy
yeah,
mackerel!
I was out that long. I was out to like the max you can.
So when you were in rehabilitation, what were you? Were you able to? Were you ambulatory? Were you getting around, or you were just laying in bed until you went to rehab?
Yeah, after they sent me home from the rehab, I had to move out of my apartment. I had to move into my mother's house, and it was a nice, you know, first floor house, so it was easy to get around. But I was, I was in a wheelchair.
This really sucks, huh?
It was rough. It was rough. I mean, you're taking pain medication because you can't. You know, anytime you got to go to physical therapy, you got to take the pain medication first.
Yeah, so that it doesn't hurt to do the physical therapy.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
then
you restrict yourself.
You kind of feel dependent on it because you're always in pain. So it's like
I got to also believe that. And this is probably true of everybody in my audience who trains hard. I got to believe that your pain threshold is pretty high.
Yeah, definitely.
Because those of us who train hard, we know what it. You know, I think, and I can't compare myself to Coach Wade Johnson, but he talked about this the other day on the roundtable discussion that, you know, when he first squatted 900 pounds, it was really heavy, but when he first squatted 1,000 pounds, it hurt.
Yeah.
You know, just the sheer. So those of us who train hard and we fight through those last reps that are burning. I think we have a naturally higher tolerance to pain. So I got to believe for you to take a pain pill, you were probably like in constant pain.
Oh yeah. No, it was nothing like I had ever felt. I mean, I played 1 year at rugby at I went to URI, University of Rhode Island, and you know, that's a pretty painful sport in itself.
Yeah.
You know, I felt nothing like this. You know.
So was the hip more painful or the leg?
It was at times the hip, because just walking upright was just, you know, it took so much out of me. I couldn't. After a while I was walking with a walker. So
okay,
it's kind of embarrassing because I was like 29 at the time and walking with a walker. But.
Did anybody say to you, "You're never going to be able to do the things that you did before, John"? You know, don't go into the gym and try to train too hard. You know, you got to be careful that leg can snap, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that, especially like the physical therapy. They take it easy on you. They have you working with exercise balls and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
the things that you use to laugh at other people for using.
Exactly.
You used to nudge your friend and go, look at the guy over there doing curls with 20-pound dumbbells on the BOSU ball.
Exactly.
Now it was coming back to haunt you.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. So they did warn you. They said, look, you're not going to be able to do the things that you did before. You're going to have to just kind of adapt.
Yeah.
Now, in the beginning, did you buy it? Did you think, oh, man, this sucks. I'm just going to have to back off?
For about, yeah, so like about three, four months after the injury, yeah, I'm going to physical therapy. I'm doing, yeah, I'm like, oh, geez. You know, you doubt yourself, you know, like, oh, am I ever going to get back? I had kind of, you know, I lost a lot of muscle, obviously not being able to work out like I'm trained like I'm used to. So, yeah, I kind of, after a while, you think you're not going to get back.
Yeah, I'm never going to be able to do those things I did before.
Exactly.
And that had to depress you a little bit, right?
It did, yeah, it was, very, very much so.
Did you ever get counseled by your family, your mom, your dad, or anybody say, look, what's the big deal, you know? Because people who don't know the love of very, very heavy training, you know, very challenging training, they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And they kind of go, you know, you'll replace it with something else. And in your head, you're going, no, you don't understand. You can't replace that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's that's my hobby. That's what I, you know, if I wasn't working, I wasn't, you know, hanging out with my friends, I'm at the gym, you know.
Right.
It's like, I don't take that away from me. It's like, you know, it's just torture.
How long did it take before you started thinking to yourself, I'm going to go in and I'm going to get it back? I don't know how. I'm going to start where I am, but I'm going to get it back.
Yeah, it was about seven, 8 months, they sent me, you know, they said go back to work. So I didn't like my job I worked at before, so I had which it kind of worked out because I had a part-time job managing a liquor store, and I ended up going over there full-time. So I'm doing physical work after my injury.
Yeah, lifting boxes of liquor and stuff like that.
Exactly, taking the deliveries.
And doing the one-hand curl with the beer bottle?
Yeah, yeah.
let me ask you, in your depression, did you ever start to embrace the pain pills? Did you ever start drinking? Did you ever think to yourself, this sucks, man, I'm just gonna drink?
No, I never got that bad, but yeah, the pain, you know, you kind of lean on the pain pills a little too much. I was like, you know, I finally just was like, no, I don't.
Really? You made a decision one day that you just, I'm done with the pain pills, that's it?
Yeah, I was just like, you know what, they make you tired, they make, you know, you can't function right, you messes up your bowels, everything just is like all messed up.
Yeah, if you take too many, you poop on yourself. Yeah, I'd say so. But, you know, other than, you know, did you ever think to yourself, wow, like I'm giving these up, and some people get hooked on this stuff. What is the difference, that minute difference? What is that thin line between the person who goes, my life is shot, I'm going to just embrace this, I'm going to start drinking, I'm going to start taking more of these pain pills, and I'm just going to wallow in my sorrow. And then another guy like you goes, these things, I don't like the way they make me feel. I'm done. I'm not doing them anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I've seen people, I know people who that's happened to. It's probably from my upbringing. I've come from a very traditional, you know, Italian-American family and close-knit family, and they were always there to help me. And
yeah, you got to watch out. Your mother give you a smack if she finds out you're doing. She'll smack you with the back of her hand. Isn't it funny? I was deathly afraid of my father.
Yeah.
My father was really a mean dude. But with that being said, my mother used to hit me with wooden spoons, and I used to laugh while she was hitting me. And she used to get so aggravated because she was trying to hurt me. Like, she was trying to, get me to do something or not do something. And she's hitting me with the spoon, and I'm laughing, and that would frustrate her even more. Thank God we didn't have a gun in the house. She would have shot me. All right, listen, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side with more of this interesting story about how having more muscle on your body actually can save your life, and more importantly, when you've invested that amount of time into physical culture, how it can actually pull you out and change the outcome. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
From the iconic metabolic expert Dr. Scott Conley comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with John Lepore about his journey. It's an interesting journey. You know, it's one that has to be discussed because quite often we think that muscle is just ornamental. You know, oh, I look great. And, you know, and I'm sure you felt that way too before this whole event, right, John?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, I can squat, I can deadlift. It's really great. It's a great discussion, you know, when I'm at the tavern with my friends. But, you know, really, muscle is not that big of a deal. But it really is. Yeah. I mean, I learned this the hard way myself 2 years ago. Valentine's Day, I think if you've heard me talk about it on the show, I don't know. I fell down the stairs,
yep,
the basement stairs, and it wasn't like a stumble. I went down the stairs like Patrick Starfish from SpongeBob Bob SquarePants. I mean, I went down that stairs like a dummy and, oh, you know, wow, banged. And I mean, I ripped the railing off the wall and,
because
my leg went under it. And then as I flipped, it just pulled the railing off the wall. Just to give you an idea of the inertia and, you know, banged my hip. My glute, my hamstring. I mean, that clearly would have been a broken hip for a guy like me, because that wasn't what it was. One of those reinforced staircases. It wasn't like something that flexed.
Yep.
It had those metal carpet runners on the edges.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, if I didn't have the muscle on my carcass, I'm sure that that fall would have been a lot friggin' worse than it really was.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like armor almost, your muscle, huh?
Yeah, yeah, never mind the metabolic benefits of it. I mean, just the sheer, as you put out, mechanical armament benefits of it. Okay, so
So you decide, that's it, I'm done with these pain pills, I don't like them, I don't like the way they make me feel, and I'm going to get back in the gym. So what is the journey like getting back in the gym?
Well, you know, it's tough. I joined a local gym around, you know, my house, and you know, I'm taking it. Yeah, you know, I know how to work out. You know, they wanted to get me a personal trainer and all that stuff, but I've been working out for years, so I know what to do, you know.
Right.
So it's just a matter of just like, you know, doing it, you know, me just saying, you know, not being afraid.
I think it has more to do with this, and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to check your ego. It's like, God, I used to deadlift this. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? Like, you want to get in there and you want to push fast. You want to get back to where you were. Mm-hmm. And you can. There's no doubt about it. You start where you are and your journey begins and you end up somewhere else.
Yep.
But it's a lot of people become depressed that they can't handle the weight that they used to handle. So they just don't go to the gym because they don't want to be reminded that they can't handle the weight they used to handle.
Yep. No, my thing is, I'm alive, I'm here, you know, I could have been worse, and I'm like, I just got to get back into shape. It's always been a big part of my life. I'm like, I got to just get
so back. Give me a snapshot of the first day back at the gym. Tell me about it. You walk in, and what happens?
It's, you know, it's rough. I did, you know, I tried to stick with mostly upper body stuff, you know, dips, you know, doing pull-ups, you know, biceps, tries, all that stuff.
Right.
It took me like about 2 months before I did any leg work, and I was sticking with machines at first, just because I was afraid to put weight on my back.
I was gonna say fear, right?
Yeah. It was one of those things where you're like, I don't want my knee to give out. But you know, after a couple months, you know, you test it, you test it a little more, and you know, it's feeling good and. Yeah,
So you squatted 405 the other day, right?
Yep.
What were you squatting back in the day before this accident?
I was around there, maybe a little higher, mid fours.
Right.
You know.
So you're really getting close to where you were strength wise again.
Yeah. I benched I did 335 the other day, you know, for three reps.
God bless you. That's great.
Yep. I've always been a strong bencher and. I think the most I've ever done is about, around 350.
Yeah, that's
close.
Really respectable stuff. Really respectable stuff. And so you just started squatting. Before that, what leg machines were you using when you started to kind of test the strength of your legs again? Go to leg press, or were you doing, like, extensions and stuff?
Yeah, I was doing leg press, extensions, leg curls, stuff like that. The toughest part, which I didn't feel comfortable, was my doing calf work, obviously, because I just started doing that, I would say, about maybe 6 months ago.
And is that because of the titanium rod in your shin?
Exactly. I was a little nervous.
Hesitant.
To do that.
Have you been back to the doctor since you've been training?
The funny part is I haven't been to a doctor in 3 years.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know what, I feel good. I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to go. What are they going to tell me, you know?
Yeah, right. Don't know. You know what they're going to tell you. Hey, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
you really
exactly.
Shouldn't be squatting anything, man. You're taking a real chance. And the truth of the matter is, as long as you don't push too fast, right?
Yep.
Your body will upregulate bone mineral uptake into those bones, into the areas to help strengthen that whole thing. And really, the titanium rod, was that put in place so that the bone could heal over it, or was that put in place to replace a piece of missing bone?
It's good. It's good. The bone will heal over that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what? Those bones are going to knit, and that leg is probably going to be stronger than the other one eventually.
Yeah. Sometimes it does feel, you know, that stronger actually.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So okay. So you're back on track, and you're training hard, and you feel good, and has the fear left you yet, or are you still kind of on the edge about? You know, doing some of the heavier movements and stuff like that.
The fear's pretty much all gone. I'm doing the snatches and cleans now. And,
right.
I'm deadlifting again. That was something I hadn't done for a while since the injury.
Because of the pelvis too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The hip does get a little sore. I do have to I do a lot of stretching.
Really, really. So it's is it muscle soreness or?
Yeah, it's more like a. You can tell the hip needs to be opened up. I do see a chiropractor every once in a while just to get you know, get adjusted.
Does your mom tell you don't go to the gym? You stupid, yeah. Don't do that? What are you doing that for? Who? What are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove?
At first she was, yeah. And then, you know, she knows I'm good now. So, you know,
are you
I've been doing this for years.
Are your legs back up to their normal size?
Yeah, pretty much. I do have my calf is an indentation where they had a cut, you know, cut through. So where the scar is.
That calf muscle will never look the same, obviously. But
No. I do a lot. I've been doing a lot of calf work lately, trying to build it up as much as I can. But yeah, there'll always be that. Plus, there's no feeling right on the scar. It's all the tissue is.
Really?
Yeah, it all feels just numb. And this is, you know.
You did track and field back in the day. Do you do any running, any sprinting, anything like that?
I just started. The place I train at, I work out tonight. I'll work out with the guy who owns the gym, and we do some sprinting. We do more like circuit training type stuff. You know?
Right.
So, but now, on the other days, I'm doing heavy lifting. So.
Now you're a really big fan of physical culture in general, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Like the old time lifters and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up as a kid in the '80s, and I watched Schwarzenegger and Stallone, and you know, and always been into the strongman type stuff and all that.
Yeah, that's really cool. We have to take our last commercial break. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with John Lepore, and he goes to show, the proof is there, that no matter what happens in your life, having that additional muscle on your carcass can really make a big difference to the outcome. And as you can see, he's regaining his strength, and he will be right back on track. A lot of people wouldn't have done this. A lot of people would have just faded. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Woe is me, woe is me. But the love of physical culture grabbed him and pulled him and said, come on. Sometimes you just don't have a choice when you do something that so long that you love it so much and you just want to get back to it. And guess what? It makes you stronger and healthier. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I created a monster because nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady. I'm chopped liver. Well, if you want Shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of weed.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard to find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotics, probiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with John Lepore. John, how did you find the show, Superhuman Radio?
Actually, the nutrition store I go to, the guy who works there, he turned me on to it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What nutrition store is that?
It's Ocean State Nutrition, and it's on Smith Street in North Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, he listens to it behind the counter all the time, and I was like, oh, let me check it out, and then I started listening.
I'm going
to
call him on the phone. I am. I'm going to thank him so much.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah, so, and you like the show, obviously. You get a little bit. What episodes do you like the best, do you think?
Well, I like when you have your Brooks on, because I just got his book, actually, The Dinosaur Training.
Isn't he great? He's actually going to be on. He's going to be on after you today. So how do you like
awesome.
That?
That's cool.
Yeah, Brooks is good. Have you been listening to the roundtable discussions on strength and hypertrophy?
Yeah, yep. All that stuff, all the dieting information, I listen to all the old episodes and some interesting stuff. I do my own research on a lot of things, and this helps it, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. So you are a personal trainer now, correct?
Yeah, well, I just started getting into personal training. I still manage the liquor store full time. So
yeah, you can probably find a lot of customers there.
Yeah, I try.
I don't think so. Hey, you know, instead of buying his case of $2 vodka, I could teach you how to squat instead.
Exactly.
But how do you see your journey actually helping you be a premier personal trainer? Because think about it for a second. A lot of people have gone, oh, I've lost 100 pounds. I mean, that's the mantra today. Oh, I lost 100 pounds, so I can teach you how to lose 100 pounds. But you've come back from a situation where most people would have just given in and let it change their lives, and they would have just, like, hobbled and sulked, and that would have been it.
Yeah, that's what I tell people all the time. Like, building muscle and getting into physical, it will change your life. It can change your life, and you just have to, people, tell me, I can't do this, I stubbed my toe or something, I'm like,
yeah, right.
I'm hit by a car.
Yeah, right. Tell me about, I can't work out today because I have a blister.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Tell me about that when you're here. Get here and I'll tell you a story about how I was hit by a car.
Exactly. Yeah, people don't believe me. I'll be honest, I have to show them my scars.
Because they don't believe it, huh?
Yeah, because they're like, oh my God, you're so big and strong. But, you do it. I'm like, well, it's hard work. It takes a lot. It's not easy, but you got to persevere.
There's a guy that I have to find, and you just reminded me. Do you remember the movie Bigger, Stronger, Faster?
No, I don't.
You never saw the movie by Chris Bell, Bigger, Stronger, Faster, about
anabolic
steroids and drugs in sports?
No, I never saw it.
Okay, well, I'm sure a lot of people in my audience have seen it. It's a great movie, by the way. You should rent it and watch it.
Check it.
In the trailer for Bigger, Stronger, Faster, as well as in the movie, there's a guy who used to train up at Westside. Mm-hmm. I want to say his name is Jamie. I don't know why I think that's his name, but I could be really off. I think he just reminds me of a guy that I grew up with named Jamie facially. And then I think that, like, my synapses in my brain for some reason crossed or something. I don't remember his name exactly, but he's the guy who has blood running out of his nose as he's squatting 1,000 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he used to train at the Powerhouse Gym in Louisville, where I used to train when he was down here in Louisville. I forget if he had family or a girlfriend down here or something like that. But anyway,
okay.
I mean, the guy was a monster,
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't see him for a long time, and then one day I see him. He walks into the gym. He's on crutches, and he's instead of being his normal like 285-pound, 300, because he was a powerlifter, but he wasn't fat. He was like really he had more of a bodybuilder's physique, but he was a monster. I see this guy, and this guy's like 160 pounds. He's on crutches. He's like, I'm like, dude, what happened? He was in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, and he had like titanium rod put in one of his legs. And I remember him telling me, you know, he was just getting into the gym and just literally like grabbing 5-pound dumbbells and just like trying to. I got to find him. I have to find him because that last time I saw him was right after the motorcycle accident. He was just getting back into the gym. The poor guy had stitches everywhere. I got to believe that he's a big, strong guy again, because I don't think that you can walk away from that kind of strength level and just go, that's it. I'm chucking it. You know?
Yeah. No.
So it'd be interesting to find out whatever happened to him. But anyway,
yeah.
So do you have a personal trainer certificate right now?
I'm in the process of getting my certificate.
Who are you going through?
I was going to go through Ace. Yeah,
they're good. They're really good.
That's the best one to go
through. And so in the meantime, you're still training hard and heavy. And are you helping anybody else at this point in time, anybody that's been injured?
Not anybody injured. I do have a couple of clients, friends I'm training right now. But
do you think you'd ever do any competitions in the future?
Maybe. I was thinking about maybe trying to do some powerlifting. My bench is pretty strong. I think I could, if I work on that, I could get that up.
Yeah, maybe. Would you do raw events, or would you go events with gear?
No, probably raw.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I don't even use a belt. I'm more like the natural. Like, I don't even know suits or anything like that.
You know what? I used to use a belt back, I mean, years ago, 2003, 2004.
Yep.
And I got to be honest with you. Squatting with the belt is so uncomfortable for me. I feel like there's all this pressure up in my chest.
Yeah. Same thing. I used to a long time ago.
I mean, I haven't used a belt in years. I don't know, you know. Yeah. I still have one. I have a really good one, actually. It's one of those padded canvas belts with all the Velcro in the front. I mean, it really, you can cinch it down really tight.
Yeah.
But and it's got a real wide back. But I haven't used a belt. But then again, I'm not trying to do any one rep maximums. We're going to talk about some stupid stuff I did this past week on the next hour of the show. But I think I took my farmer's walks to an extreme recently. I tried to combine farmer's walks with normal cardio.
Oh boy!
I did farmer's walks for a half hour.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go really, really heavy.
I
probably went heavy for what most people would do, but it was stupid. But anyway,
I just started doing those again, farmer's walks. Your show, one of your show, I listened to your farmer walk show.
Right.
And I was like, oh, cool, I got to incorporate these.
Yeah, forget about them, right? Yeah. And you know, and Mike Boyle, who's a fantastic coach. He makes people do farmer's walks just specifically for hip strength.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, and he talks about using different walking patterns. You know, walk with a wide stance, then walk one foot in front of the other.
Okay.
You know, and one foot in front of the other is much harder, by the way, to do farmer's walks when you're holding fairly decent weight. You've got to slow it down. You've got to think about it. You've got to walk, you know, because you lose your balance really easily.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's really good for hip strength.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I gotta look into that. Yeah, they're amazing. I mean, just for your grip and your arms,
And that's what wore out when I was doing these farmer's walks the other day. It was my grip that started to really fail on me. That made me have to keep putting the dumbbells down and like waiting a couple seconds and picking them back up.
Oh yeah.
And I was using power blocks, which was a mistake because they're the square ones, and as my grip would start to weaken, they would rest against the top of my hand where my tendons are.
Oh yeah.
And it would like press against that, and I actually started getting pain in my hands before my grip was wearing out after a while. It was a pain in the ass. But anyway, I did it. I said I was going to do it, and I did it.
Nice.
But anyway, all right. Well, look. I wish you all the luck in the world. Your story is a great one. It's an inspiring one for those people out there who can't go to the gym. Because, you know, they can't get out of work in time, or, you know, everybody comes up with these just lame ass excuses.
Yep.
You know, then you look at a guy like you that most people wouldn't have ever come back to the gym. They would have just given up and said, that's it. Life threw me a curveball and I'm sitting here with it. But no, you got back in the gym and you started where you had to start and you worked slowly. And, you know, you'll be back at your normal strength level. As you said, your size is back.
yeah.
People can't even believe. What about going through the metal detectors in the airport? Is that got to be a pain in the ass now, right?
It's funny. Yeah, well, it doesn't go off sometimes, but yeah, I did. I went to Vegas recently. On the way back, they had to go through the whole thing where they had to check everything, and I told
you
them.
Showed them the scar. They didn't believe it, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But so I got a lot of titanium in my leg.
Yeah. Really? And titanium isn't cheap, by the way.
No, no. I know.
You know, you could have taken that out in Vegas and hawked it and then come back and gambled some more money.
I know, right?
Could have sold it. Anyway, listen, John, it's really great. I appreciate you listening to the show, first of all. So that was Ocean. What was the name of that?
Ocean State Nutrition. Nutrition is the store, yeah, that he turned
out. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get in touch with him. Thank them.
Yeah, you should, yeah.
For promoting the show. Do you know the guy's name over there?
You know, I don't know his name offhand. I don't. I have his card with me. I pop in there every once in a while.
No, that's cool. I'll surprise him. I'm going to call him today. Watch. I'm going to call him and say, thank you for telling people about the show.
Maybe he'll recognize
my voice when I call.
Cool. Next time I go in there, I'll tell him.
John, good luck with everything, brother.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Big fan of the show.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Brooks Kubik, and we have a special guest that's going to sit in for part of the interview, and that is Adele Musa. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, you know, plus so ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver-safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
I had the mic open just now. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Originally, we had planned to have Brooks Kubik on, and at the last minute, I invited Adele Moussa to be on this interview as well, because his blog post was exactly about some of the things we would be talking about today. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, Brooks Kubik.
Glad to be here, Carl.
And, of course, Adele Moussa, a.k.a. Dr. Andro. How are you, Adele?
I'm fine, and always a pleasure to be on the air.
Yes, of course, of course. All the way from Munster, Germany, we have been graced. We got lucky, and he was there. Because really, I didn't have any plan on having him on the show until I saw his blog post. So Brooks and I have been talking about something lately. We've been exploring this notion of when exercise becomes counterproductive, not just to your goals, but to health in general. There becomes a point that we talk about overtraining all the time and how it hinders performance, but it can actually hinder health. So, Brooks, why don't you start off with some of the discussion? You really started to think a lot more about this when you were watching CrossFit, right? The CrossFit Games?
Yeah, my apologies to all the CrossFit fans out there, and you know, I'm not beating up on CrossFit, and don't send me hate emails or anything. But one of the thoughts as I'm watching the CrossFit Games is that you've got a very young, very well conditioned group of athletes who are doing what is almost a competition in plyometrics.
Right.
A lot of repetitive movement. You know, it's stuff where you're bouncing up and down, you're jumping, you're hitting all the, you know, all the joints over and over and over. And it's a different kind of stress than traditional weightlifting or weight training stress. Primarily because you're doing more reps and you're doing faster reps and you're doing so many ballistic type things and so many things where you're jumping up and down. Now, over time, if you keep training that way, over time, if you're not careful and if you're not doing all the recovery things that you need to be doing and you're not varying your workload, you're not doing some kind of cycling of intensity and actual duration of training as well. You know, if you're not doing that sort of thing, then you're probably starting to set up long-term trauma. And I'll give you a very simple example. And my wife Trudy, who is a physical therapy assistant with 35 years experience in that field, and a massage therapist.
Right.
Before we were married, Trudy's daughter was very interested in ballet. And Trudy was a single mom, and she didn't, you know, really have the resources to pay for ballet school and, you know, the shoes and the outfits and all of that. So what she did was barter massage with dancers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in exchange for free lessons for our daughter in ballet school. Okay? Right. And she did that for a number of years. So basically, she ended up knowing quite a number of ballet dancers, some of whom were professional dancers here in Louisville. And, you know, these were people who are young, very light, you know, teeny tiny, okay, incredibly well conditioned, just remarkably strong, particularly in the, you know, the lower body, legs and legs, hips, lower back. And their workout is basically nothing but dance and related dance exercises for hours and hours and hours every day. Okay. Well, what happens to a teeny tiny ballerina when she's 30 or 35 or 40? The answer is her feet are completely banged up.
Yeah.
Her ankles are banged up. Her knees are shot, hips, lower back. I mean, there's just tremendous wear and tear from all of the up-down bouncing movements.
Right.
And again, I have to emphasize, you know, these are young women who weigh 90 pounds, 95 pounds or less. I mean, they're teeny tiny.
Right.
And yet the stress that their activity, their dance imposes on their bodies is just remarkable. So if you take someone who's heavier than that, who's doing the same kind of, you know, high repetition, high impact, high stress activities, adding a weight factor, you know, that's something where you've really got to be careful about what you're doing. It takes some real careful programming to keep from getting beat up.
Well, now, and Adele, you have in your blog post today, and let me get back to it just for one second here. In your blog post today, overtraining, inflammation, insufficient repair, a counterproductive triage. You know, there are people out there who don't believe in overtraining, the true type of overtraining, you know, other than hitting a wall and stopping short completely. So describe what you cover in your blog post today as it relates to this discussion.
Well, there was a recent study conducted that looked exactly at the basic physical mechanisms of overtraining. And allegedly, this was a rodent study, and the training protocol was pretty extreme. But what the scientists found is actually what we already expected, that is, that there was a profound imbalance between inflammatory signals and anti-inflammatory signals. And interestingly, the specific signal molecules they measured, they are responsible for both the repair process as well as the hypertrophy process, and especially the recruitment of satellite cells, which is part of the regeneration process after a muscle is damaged. And the interesting thing is that there is a pretty narrow margin where you can actually have a certain degree of damage that will not only be effectively repaired, but that will also lead to hypercompensation, that is muscle growth and in terms of strength, of course, strength gains. And it's quite, well, it's only human to believe that doing more will produce more results. But in effect, doing more can also be doing more rest or taking more or longer rest periods. And when Brooks is talking about CrossFit, another study that is not all, that's not yet released, it's in pre-release, it's an accepted manuscript, that tested in particular protocols, a protocol that is quite similar to the CrossFit protocol with very short rest times and high intensity. And the study was done at the University of Connecticut by William Kramer, one of the of the well-known researchers in this area. And what they found is that specifically these types of exercises produce a very profound cortisol increase. And in the section called or entitled Practical Implications, Kramer and the other authors state that especially these protocols are only useful for a very short time period and then very trained athletes. And what I see currently is that everybody is jumping on this trend because CrossFit is cool and CrossFit is nice. And I think it's a really great thing to train with others and to get this competitive edge. But especially that drives people into a state where they are demanding of their bodies much more than they are capable of doing. And they take people as a role model who have been training mostly in other competitive sports for years, have started as a child. And there are people who have been training for half a year trying to come up to the to what they expect of themselves when they see those trained athletes. And I think there's a profound imbalance between the expectations you have towards yourself, and which drives your desire to train even harder, and what your body is capable of doing.
Yeah, very interesting. So, but do you think that those types of ballistic movements, like plyometric movements, have an inherent effect on causing more injury to the body than the body can repair quickly? Just that type of movement itself, Adele?
I'm not quite sure. I would say that they are more prone to to cause greater muscle damage, because in many of those movements you have a very short but pronounced eccentric phase where the muscle damage is accentuated. But in the end, it doesn't really matter what type of training you do, as long as you give your body enough time to recuperate. And people are not really willing to do that because they feel that this is a waste of time.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm one of those idiots. I mean, people, by the way. All right, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. I've got lots of good questions for my guest today, Brooks Kubik. His website is brookskubik, KUBIK.com. And, of course, Adele Moose's brilliant website, Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Two websites you should be visiting every single day, moments after you visit Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Hit me! Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAO-CHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound. And get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My two guests this hour, Brooks Kubik and Adele Moussa. And we're addressing the very, very thin line between productive and unproductive bouts of exercise. Okay, so going into the break, I said I'm one of those fools too, and I am. So I'm starting to feel better. I've made some changes in my life, my supplement regimen, and so on. And I feel like I'm getting back to where I need to be with my body and its ability to output more energy. So I decided on Friday that Elisa wanted to go do cardio, and she was going to go run sprints. I didn't want to run sprints, but I did want to walk. So she went and ran sprints for the first half hour, and I took two 50-pound dumbbells, and I walked for 30 minutes. I did farmer's walks for 30 minutes. I thought this ought to be intriguing and fun. And it was hot out. And I walked 15 minutes in one direction, 15 minutes back. Naturally, I had to drop the dumbbells every now and then because my grip was giving out, especially towards the end. And then I went and walked with Elisa after that for 30 minutes, which really wasn't a big deal. But then the following day, I went in and I trained back. And my grip strength was already exhausted. My brachials were already sore. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to go in and hammer my back after that, and then I'm going to give it some time off and let it regroup. Okay, so first I'm going to ask you, Brooks, was this a foolish thing for me to do after doing, obviously, 50-pound dumbbells doesn't sound heavy, but when you're holding one in each hand for a half hour and walking, and I was walking at a very rapid pace, by the way. I wasn't, you know, just lummoxing along. Should that have been all I did and not done anything the next day for my back?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, frankly, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah, please.
You're lucky that you didn't tear something.
Yeah. My brachials hurt so bad the next day when I started to do my rowing movements.
Yeah, I'll bet. The farmer's walk is a complete total body exercise. It's not just something for your grip. It's not just a way to burn calories or do cardio or, you know, do whatever. I mean, it is a complete total body movement. You hammered the heck out of it. I don't know how far you went, but, you know, 30 minutes carrying a 50-pound dumbbell in each hand, you know, if someone's listening and they think, well, boy, that doesn't sound hard, you know, go out and try it. That kind of thing hammers you, push you to the edge, and, you know, then you came back the next day, and instead of resting or at the very least doing something much easier on your body, you took another hard, heavy one, hitting many of the muscle groups that were primarily affected by the farmer's walk. And that's a very common thing that people do, and it's something that over time wears your body down. And part of the problem, you know, Carl, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
You're strong, you're in good shape, you're used to pushing yourself hard, and that's part of the problem, because when you get the bee in your bonnet of, I'm going to go do farmer's walk, you know, you go out and you work it hard. And that's what a lot of older and more experienced trainees do, and it's how they tend to get hurt, because they forget that when they're trying something new, they need to have a building up period. You know, just because you can squat 500 pounds doesn't mean you should run out and start doing front squats and try to work up to 400 pounds in your first workout.
Right.
You know, it's a different exercise. It's a different groove. It's a different movement. It's working the body in ways that it's not used to working. There's you know, more stretch, more flexibility required. And you darn well better take that into account and build up slowly, even if overall you're big and strong and well-conditioned. And the same is true of anything else.
Adele, you just posted on my Facebook a link to a study that shows that plyometric muscle damage is not different from other exercises. Is that correct?
In essence, it's gradually different in terms of how strong or how pronounced the muscle damage is, but the regeneration period appears to be about the same, and they did not measure those variables that came about in the new study we talked about before. And I think these would actually make good measurements of whether or not you are overtraining or not. But we cannot yet measure them with a simple test that would be available for people to do that. They measured some of the standard variables like creatine kinase, and which is usually considered to be a good indicator of muscle damage. And the values I saw on the tables are pretty normal, and you would not, or at least I wouldn't say that based on that data set, you could conclude that plyometrics are especially damaging to the muscle tissue.
I probably agree with this. The thing that I think differentiates plyometrics is what they do to soft tissue and tendons and ligaments. But let's step aside of all this for a second. So you mentioned the regeneration period, Adele. What is a sensible? Okay, so for instance, my 2-day back-to-back torture should be followed by what period of time for complete regeneration of the muscles, so that I can then go and train theoretically harder next time?
That is a very difficult question, and I think it's really hard to answer that in general. But if you look at what works for most trainees, then you could say that when you are training a split training program, then most trainees won't train a muscle group more than twice a week. And if you go by that, then you would say that you have at least 48 hours of no exercise at all for that muscle group in between. And the study we were just talking about, the plyometric study, showed that after 48 hours of rest, many of those variables were about at baseline, or were at least going back to baseline. And unless you're doing, for example, a workout which consists of 100 of eccentric reps, and you do real severe damage, it is quite likely that 48 hours of complete rest would be sufficient. But that presupposes that your body is still in a normal, or, well, you could say in an anabolic state, where repair is working effectively. And, for example, other parameters you have to consider is your general constitution. Are you healthy? Are you stressed in your everyday life? How old are you? How is your training status? And there are so many parameters that it's really difficult to give an exact number. But in the post I've written today, there is another interesting thing which pertains to going to the gym when you still hurt. Because some people just will just take some NSAIDs, non-steroidal, what's it in English, anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, right, like Tylenol or one, you know, yeah, Motrin, yeah, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, right.
Yeah. And those are inhibiting one of those enzymes which is critical for muscle repair and also for the protein response to exercise. So if you're constantly going to train with severe DOMS, or deep onset muscle soreness, and taking those pills in order to be able to train, this would be exactly the most counterproductive thing you can do. And what Brooks already mentioned, you are obviously very prone to hurt yourself because your muscles are often not really the weakest link, but what you also said, Carl, your ligaments and tendons are. And when you look at all those studies, you usually have at least one professional trainer controlling the exercise execution. So people are doing the exercises right. But when I go to the gym, I see 90% of the people doing the exercise totally wrong.
Right.
And this also makes a whole difference in terms of how much regeneration you will need, how much gains you will see in the gym, and especially how prone you are to hurt yourself.
Okay, here's a question for both of you. We'll start with Brooks. And obviously, the supposition here is that you have a goal for your training. So theoretically, if you're an athlete, a powerlifter, you're training to reach a certain total. That is your goal. You train to that goal, and then generally after you've reached your goal, you would back off. You don't continue to train that hard forever and ever. You know, you have periods of on and off. If you're an Olympic athlete, you're training as hard as you can for the Olympics. You're pushing your body into perhaps a period of chronic fatigue even. We hear a lot of stories about professional athletes, Olympic athletes are more prone to getting sick as they near the Olympic events because they're training so hard, they're not allowing their bodies to recover. So the question is this. If the goal is the health benefits from exercise, okay, and especially resistance exercise, how do we draw the line between I am training and it's going to enhance my health versus I am training and it's actually degrading my health now?
Well, one of the ways that I'd answer that question is going back to the roots of physical culture and the traditional training method that people used not only to build strength and muscle, but health. You know, this was back in the days when the magazine in England was Health and Strength, the magazine in the U.S. was Strength and Health. I mean, everybody was focused on health. And a lot of guys back then got into weight training, physical fitness, physical culture, because they were very unhealthy. And, you know, think about it. I mean, you know, back then, medicine was not very, very advanced. The social network was such the safety net was non-existent.
Right.
And, you know, if you were not healthy, you know, just living was a problem, let alone living a good life and let alone taking care of your family. So it was really important for people to be healthy. What they tended to do was a program where even if they trained 4 or 5 days a week, they trained hard and heavy one day. 2 other days, they took it easier. And if they did any additional training, those other training days were pretty easy. They often refer to them as tinkering days, just fooling around, just doing light stuff. Maybe you go in and, you know, you work your stomach, you work your neck a little bit, and that's it, or, you know, whatever. But, the thing is, what they did was 1 hard session, 2 not-as-hard sessions, and 2 sessions that were pretty easy. Okay?
Right.
That system in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, built tremendous organic health for a lot of people. And one of the reasons that it did was because they were not going full bore too often. They controlled it. So anecdotally, you know, you threw out what should you be doing if your goal is to build health, and I would say look at how people built health back in the day through their training and, you know, model what you do after what they did, which is basically a light, medium, heavy system where you're not hammering it too often. And if you're older, and by older I mean 35 or 40 on up, you need to really pay attention to that because that's when you can really put a lot of stress on your body, you know, just because your body's older and, it's probably been through the ringer more than once.
What do you think, Adele? Do you think is there a point of diminishing returns when the objective of your strength training is to also increase overall robust health?
I think that there, Rob Wolf has an interesting concept that there is a, I think he called it triple point theory or something along the lines, that you have to sacrifice one for another. You can't have all three. You can't get the strongest, the biggest, and the healthiest. You won't find an Olympic athlete, at least not at his peak, in the perfect health condition, which you said before. So I think people oftentimes don't really know what they actually want to achieve in the gym.
Exactly.
If your real goal is health, then you cannot pick the hypertrophy routine, but you must pick the health routine. Now, health is not that sexy these days, and therefore everyone is striving for the routine that will produce the greatest either muscle or strength gains, because with those you have the bragging rights, but with health you just have health, just in quotation marks.
Right.
And the main problem I see is that people are not willing to accept that health does not, they take health for granted. And they also associate being strong and training every day with being totally healthy. But that must not necessarily be the case. And a good indicator of when it's time to go or to leave the gym, when real health is the main issue you are training for, is when you got this real great feeling of being at your peak, that you, it's usually for most trainees, when you train for strength or you train for hypertrophy, it's in the midst of the training where you feel the best. And people are continuing to train and to train until they crawl out of the gym. And this is exactly the mistake. If you were really training for health, then you would leave the gym when you're feeling great, and not when you're feeling like you can't go, or you couldn't ride the bike home, but must take the bus.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So it's right there. Adele, do you think anything about these new fatigue tests? Rick Green sent me a bunch of them. We did a show here on Superhuman Radio many months ago about a saliva test that the military is using to assess fatigue so they can determine whether or not somebody is pushing themselves too hard. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I listened to the show. I remember it, but honestly, I have not read much about it, and I'm not really a fan of judging health by numbers, because we've been fooled too often by those numbers. I just want to remind everything about the cholesterol myth of heart disease,
right,
and about many of those other things. And also, when people are getting their hormone profiles, I've seen people who are in their best shape and they feel great, and then they went to their doctors and came back and were suddenly sick because their values were off.
Right.
And in some cases, I'm really questioning the value of those tests.
Right.
As I mentioned, those markers that were mentioned in the study about which I've written today, it would be interesting to measure them, but I think that up to now, at least most of the athletes have achieved extraordinary results without those tests, and I think it will be similar in the future. If you're a professional athlete, you will often have those lactate threshold tests and other testing methods.
Right.
But in the end, it's the whole picture that counts, and you will often see, or I think you will always see, with an athlete, or the best athletes always have a good trainer, and there is a reason to that, because at a certain level, it becomes very difficult to be your own trainer. And the thing with the goal is interesting, because when most trainees don't have a goal, they obviously can't find a plan that fits their goal. And if you have a trainer who's really experienced in this area, he will help you to find your goal, to define your goal exactly, and he will also help you to design a plan to get to that goal and decide when you've reached it. Because many of the non-professional athletes, they have a very, well, undefined goal, and they are training and training and never reaching their goal, because they never said, for example, I want to bench, say, 200 pounds. And whenever they are approaching their goal, they are revising it and putting it up and putting it up. This is, of course, a good thing, because you want to make progress. But in the end, it hinders you from taking that week off that you may may need, those 4 weeks off that you may need. And it's quite interesting, since I've been working with Adelfo taking part in his contest preparation, I've seen how having this one fixed date where you must peak, and afterwards peaking out, as some of the bodybuilders say, how that can actually help you keep sane and keep making progress.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know what? And I'm going to take a break, and I want to go dig up. I've got a bunch of training guides, training diaries here from years past. I suspect something. I want to talk about this when we come out of the break. We're talking today with both Adel Moussa, whose website is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com, and Brooks Kubik. Of course, Brooks' website is Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Super Droll knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido, so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just reminding everybody, Muscle Gauge Nutrition is giving away $600 worth of free product.
May 31st is the drawing. If you have not entered, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad at the top to enter to win $600 worth of free product. They got a lot of great product there. Everything from multivitamins, weight gainers, protein powders, fat burners, everything. So I'm sure you can find $600 worth of product at the Muscle Gauge store. Check it out. We're talking this hour with Brooks Kubik and Adele Musa. We're talking about towing the thin line between what is productive and what is unproductive in your training. And I guess when we went into the break, we decided that really your goal has to be set first before you can determine that. If your goal is at all costs to reach a certain level of exercise proficiency, like in the case of a power lifter or an Olympic lifter, then health is not really an important goal. But if you're an older guy like me, sure, you want to be strong, but I wouldn't want to be strong at the cost of my health or, you know, killing myself. So health has to weigh in to this this equation, especially if you're not an athlete, a competitive athlete. I just dug up a bunch of my training diaries, which I happen to have here at the studio. You know, and I 2004, 2005, 2006. 2005 is when I got sick, and the training diary ends abruptly. 2006, when I came back, I regained a lot of my strength. And interestingly enough, as I had suspected, I made some really good gains with one day on, 2 day off, which really kind of comes full circle to speak to what Adele was saying about the 48 hours off of complete rest. So is that too infrequent, you think, Brooks? Or do you think that there is some value to that if you're going into the gym and truly hammering yourself that one day?
If you're going into the gym and truly hammering yourself, you can make great gains training once a week, twice a week, three times a week. And if you're really strong, when I'm talking about three times a week, I'm talking about three different workouts, workout A, workout B, and workout C, so that you only hit one particular exercise once a week. I mean, you know, that's what I did when I was, you know, shortly before I started my competitive powerlifting bench press competition career. You know, I ended up putting on 50 pounds of muscle on that kind of program, won 5 national championships in the bench press. I mean, I got big and strong, and I was training my bench once a week, my squat once a week, my deadlift once a week. If you're doing the same workout, then I would say you want to do three times a week and you want to use a heavy, light, medium system so that you have one heavy day and the others are not as heavy. But you absolutely can make tremendous gains with relatively infrequent training.
I was doing a split. I would come in and I would start the week off with legs. Mm-hmm. And I would train legs, and I'd take 2 days off. I do have some days here where I mark that I did some cardio.
Mm-hmm.
But always the day before coming back and training, I took completely off. Mm-hmm. And then I would come back and do chest and shoulders, and then take 2 days off, and then come back and do back. And then start all over. That's a 9-day cycle instead of the traditional one weekly cycle. So I was hitting a body part once every 9 days, technically. I mean, although there is some crossover effect training back and training legs, because I would do stiff leg deadlifts on leg day, and then I would do, you know, Romanian deadlifts on back day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Adele? Is it better if your objective is health and you think to yourself, wow, this 2 days off of complete regeneration and repair to the central nervous system, to the body parts in question. If I'm going to do this, should I be training a whole body routine one day and then taking 2 days off? Or is it more efficient, you think, to do the type of split that I just described?
Well, I've become, over the last weeks, I've become a fan of trying to mix things up a little. So you could, for example, try to do an upper-lower split at the beginning of the week and follow it up later in the week by a full-body circuit. training.
Hmm.
And in the end, I think that it always depends on whether you're really going all out or not. And what I've always seen, or what I've witnessed time and again, is that most people who are going all out are not doing this just once a week or twice a week, like Brooks rightly suggested, but those who are really training hardcore, as they say of themselves, they are the ones that are most likely to try to do this every day. And on the other hand, you have those who are only training on the weekend because they are working and don't want to go to the gym after work. And they feel they are training hard, but they only have two training days, and most time they're spending there talking with their friends. And somewhere in between is where the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
Between, or at least combining it right, that is training twice and hitting it all out, or training more regularly and doing a rather light workout. And I'm not quite sure if the latter, that is a higher frequency and lighter workout, and maybe a two-part split, train twice a week, is not better if health and longevity is your main goal. And whether it really must be going all out and deadlifting the hardest weights. I'm not saying that you should do a classic circuit training only on machines. If your health allows you to do the basic compound movements, keep doing them. But there is, for me at least, there is no reason to try to max out at any time if health is your major goal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Adele, have you had a chance to watch the CrossFit games on any of the sports cable channels?
No.
Okay.
We don't have, or at least I don't have paid cable TV, and in the German cable TV, free TV, there is no CrossFit games.
Okay. They do a type of sit-up where they overextend. Brooks, correct me if I'm wrong, is that called a Roman chair? Where your feet go under the padding and your butt is on a pad and your whole torso is hanging off of it. Isn't that called a Roman chair?
Yeah, it used to be called a Roman chair. They typically do them on hyperextension benches now. But it's a Roman chair sit-up or a hyperextension sit-up.
They do a sit-up I was watching it the other day, where instead of going to parallel, where your body is fully extended, you go beyond to where your spine is hyperextended. So you think of yourself bending backwards. So your head is all the way down at the ground. Your butt is up high at 9 o'clock. Your head is down by 5 o'clock. And then you do a crunch that, you know, you do a sit-up that way. You bring your body all the way up until it is fully erect, and then beyond to where you're almost folded like a pocket knife. And they do these rapidly back and forth. I have to believe that hyperextending the spine like that cannot be a wise thing. And I wish you would have seen it, Adele, because then you'd understand what I'm talking about. But it seems to me to be almost a very reckless movement. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should try it and find out myself. You have any opinions on that type of a movement, Adele? Can you understand can you visualize what I'm talking about?
I think that is basically something I've done in the past as well when I was a stupid idiot. we had one of those crazy Roman chairs in the gym where I first started training. And my trainer always said, don't go past parallel, don't go past parallel. But, well, it hurts so bad, so it must be good for me. So I started doing it, well, at least what I imagined the people on TV did, and really hyperextended my back. And from today's perspective, I must say I was lucky that I didn't hurt myself. But I think that this made my already existing, what's it in English, whole coils. If your lower back has this particular S shape, so that your belly is extended,
right.
not because your lower back has this arch.
Right.
And I think doing this movement really contributed to making it even worse. And this was part of the reason that I've been running around for years feeling like my abdomen was extended before I realized that part of the reason was that I wasn't really standing up straight. And doing movements like this, they are not only putting you at danger of hurting yourself directly when you're doing them, but they can also have those detrimental side effects, especially in people who are already prone to these types of miscarriages. Well,
okay.
Of
form.
Of not, of anatomically. Problem.
Well, you know, and you know what? And he raises an interesting point, because when I was reading Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors Volume 2 recently, I remember, I think Randy Roach wrote about Jeff Everson. When Jeff was a young man, he used to do overhead presses with some very, very considerable weight. But in order to do them, he would lean back so far that it was almost more like a bench press. He was standing. He would hyperextend his back in the way we're talking about, but with load on it. And he ended up destroying the lower vertebrae in his spine to the point that he couldn't, he lived with pain his whole life as a result of that unnatural movement. And we're talking about that same hyperextension on that Roman chair right now. So it is something to be concerned about, I think.
I think with the acceleration you have backwards, it's basically a similar load on your vertebrae as if you were pushing weight. Now, of course, maybe the load was higher, but in essence, the same thing could happen because the force that is on your vertebrae depends on the acceleration, and the acceleration is, of course, pretty high when you're going back and forth and trying to do as many of those as possible. When I did them, I did them relatively slowly. But I imagine those people at the games, they are trying to do as many
oh,
as
yeah.
possible.
I mean, they look like metronomes. They're going so fast. Tick, 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 tick.
Okay.
I mean, they're just bouncing up and down. And I mean, and the abdominal muscles are just protruding. Most of the people after doing this, after they got off the bench, I noticed that whether it was momentary as a result of what they were doing, their stomachs almost looked distended.
That's what I was talking about.
yeah. All right, so let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap it up. We're talking with Adel Moussa. His website is, of course, Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com, and Brooks Cubic, Keeper of the Flame of Physical Culture, and his website is Brooks Cubic, KUBIK.com. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Showtime.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. You already know how great the Testo 100 transdermal testosterone boosting patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work
work originally, but now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Brooks, I don't know if you saw the Facebook page just now, but Adele posted a picture of the exact movement we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, Adele, this girl is like literally completely, her back is completely bent. She's so far bent backwards. And Adele, what does it say on the page where she, I guess this is like her training diary?
I don't know if it's her training diary. I think it's some kind of result list. But in this result list, I think there were five competitors, and two of them, there's a remark that they performed at, I don't know how many pounds, due to shoulder pain, and goblet squat due to wrist pain. So doesn't sound particularly healthy to compete there. But in essence, this is their own choice, and this is exactly what we've been talking about before. If you want to perform at the maximum level in a competitive sport that requires you to do those movements, then you got to live with it.
Yeah, you got to put
otherwise
up with it.
Otherwise, you need
right.
to do another sport.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah, but let me jump in for just a second.
Yeah, please.
These are sports that are in the process of being created. If we're talking about the CrossFit Games, lots of strongman competitions, there are lots of things where the rules are being created as we go. And that means there's someone else who's determining what exercises are used in competition.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is an exercise such as the Roman chair sit-up, which is a potentially very dangerous exercise that can really mess up someone's lower back, and I'm talking about stress fractures in the spine,
right,
which is not a good thing. There is no reason to have that as an event. There are much easier, well, not easier, there are much safer things that can be contested that don't put that kind of strain on the lower back.
Yeah.
You know, I saw they were doing the hanging from a pull-up bar and reaching up and touching the toes to the top of the bar.
Right.
Okay, which is also a tremendous ab exercise, core exercise, and you know, that's something that you can contest, and it's a lot easier on the lower back.
Right.
So, you know, as we're putting people into competitive situations, the people who are designing the competitions need to be thinking about what's safe and what's not. Carl, do you remember the bodybuilder Franco Colombo?
Sure. Who didn't remember Franco?
Okay, and remember he competed in the strongman competition?
Yes.
He was carrying a refrigerator on his back.
Yes.
I think going up a slight incline or something,
right.
but I know he was carrying a refrigerator on his back. They had some kind of harness that the refrigerator sat on, and he just had a misstep and had, like, you know, 400, 500, 600-pound refrigerator on his back, and so when he slipped to the side, he busted his knee.
Right.
Just
the
completely.
Right.
Yeah, just destroyed it. And in retrospect, you would think, okay, well, you know, why not put it on a wheelbarrow, and they lift up the wheelbarrow, and they do that, or, you know, they do something other than this really dangerous thing of carrying a very unwieldy load on your back.
Right.
So sorry to jump in, but
that's a great point. It's a great point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Briggs. Of course, in a sport like this, and especially in a new sport like CrossFit, it's quite astonishing that they are still doing movements like that. And nobody appears to be complaining. That it's, in a way, it's sad because there are supposed to be many professional trainers in there, and all those new CrossFit gyms. Many of the people who are running them have a trainer's license, and I think actually they should know better than that.
Well, I think that they'll tell you that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing if you work up to it appropriately. I have a feeling that that's that would be their response. But clearly, coming back to the notion of health being part of the prescription for resistance training, it doesn't sound like, at least from, you know, we hear a lot about people reporting injuries from CrossFit. CrossFit is not necessarily an exercise routine designed to increase health. It is more of a competitive style of exercise, in my opinion. And so, I don't know, with people complaining about joint pain and this and that, you know, especially most of the people in CrossFit are very young, too. You know, so anyway, well, we've come to the end of the show. I think that the notion of training, increasing health, I think that one of the things that Adele said during the interview, which stuck with me, because I remember the reason I went and got these training manuals, because I remember a period in my life where I walked out of the gym feeling like King Kong, as opposed to feeling like I had just been stepped on by King Kong. And I think that should be the objective. I think Adele it put it very elegantly. It's very easy. You don't need testing equipment or anything. If you walk out of the gym and you feel like somebody just beat you up with baseball bats, maybe you need to back off a little bit and be walking out of the gym feeling invigorated and energized by your workout. What do you think about that, Brooks?
Yeah, absolutely. I go back to John Grimmick's advice about how to determine, you know, if you've done enough for a particular muscle group. And he said, work until the muscles feel congested, which was his word for pumped up.
Right.
Do one more set and then stop.
Interesting, too, because one of the pieces of sage advice that Porter Cottrell told me was given to him by Lee Labrada is train the muscles until they are pumped. And when you stop feeling a pump, stop training the muscle. And Porter didn't believe him at first because he thought back in the day it was very common for bodybuilders who were competing against each other to give each other bad advice. You know, Arnold started that whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was telling Sergio Oliva to drink a lot of whiskey when you're supposed to just have a couple shots to open up the blood vessels, and he got Sergio drunk before a competition one day. So those were very common tactics. So Porter didn't believe him at first, but then he tried it and he realized that is, you know, there's a point of productive accomplishment, and then there's a point where you go beyond it, where you're just training for nothing now.
Yeah.
And interestingly, there's also a scientific point in this, because getting no pump at the gym is also an indicator of being already overtrained. So if you're not getting a pump at all, then there is something wrong.
Interesting. Look, this has been a great, great conversation. Of course, Brooks Kubik's website is brookskubik.com. Brooks is the official keeper of the Flame of Physical Culture. And then Adele Musa's blog, which is possibly
the most insightful and intelligent, scientifically designed blog in the universe, in the blogosphere, is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Guys, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay, so there you have it. Tomorrow we've got another great show planned for you. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio, and we'll see you later.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique.